Good morning, this is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension Report on this Wednesday morning. As we have a few warm days in the forecast, now is a great time to prepare any fruit plants in your yard that may be perennials for the winter season. We chatted a little bit last week about preparing fruit trees for winter, but how about some of those smaller fruit-bearing crops, such as strawberries and raspberries? Strawberries should be mulched in the fall to prevent winter injury. This injury may happen from low temperatures and repeated freezing and thawing. Temperatures below 20 degrees Fahrenheit may kill flower buds and damage the roots and crowns of any unmulched plants. They can also heave plants out of the ground, severely damaging them. Excellent mulching materials include clean, weed-free oat, wheat, or soybean straw. Chopped corn stalks are another option. In general, you should apply 3 to 5 inches of material over your strawberry bed. After settling, the mulch layer should be about 2 to 4 inches thick midwinter. In windy areas, straw mulches can be kept in place by placing wire or plastic fencing over the area. This fencing can be held in place with bricks or other heavy objects on the edge. Strawberry plants should be allowed to harden or acclimate to cool fall temperatures before mulching. Gardeners in central and southern Iowa should mulch their strawberries in mid to late November after they have hardened off with several nights of very cool temperatures. Raspberries have various degrees of hardiness in Iowa depending on the type. In general, red and purple raspberries are hardy throughout the state. Black raspberries often suffer severe winter damage in northern Iowa, but can be more reliably grown in central and southern parts of the state. Red raspberries are unique in their growth and fruiting characteristics. The plant's roots and crowns are perennial, while stems or canes are biennial, which means they bear on the second year. A raspberry plant may survive and produce fruit for many years. However, individual canes live only 2 years, produce fruit, and then die. In general, there are 2 types of red raspberries. Summer-bearing red raspberries are strictly vegetative during the first growing season. The following year, these same canes flower, produce fruit, and then die. Fall-bearing red raspberries are slightly different. They normally produce 2 crops, the first in late summer or early fall, that's at the tips of the current season's growth, then the following year a summer crop is produced on the lower portion of the same canes. They also will die back after the second year of fruiting. Many gardeners with fall-bearing raspberries prune them back to the ground in late fall or early spring. Doing this eliminates the summer crop, but allows the late summer and early fall crop to mature earlier. In addition, total crop yields are usually larger using this system. Summer-bearing raspberries should not be pruned back to the ground, as this will eliminate the following season's crop. So those are some guidelines if you have some of those small fruit crops in your yard that you would like to overwinter and make plans for next year's garden. Also want to share some information from our Acreage Living newsletter as we get into the winter season. In the November issue on protecting water from freezing, as you know, as the things get chilly in Iowa here in the winter, a recurring challenge is keeping your outdoor water sources from freezing. Keeping water thawed, especially if you have outdoor pets or livestock, requires adequate heat to keep the temperature of the water above freezing. The 3 most common approaches are adding heat with a heating device, insulating to conserve heat, and adding heat by bringing in warmer water. First off, any water lines that can be emptied for winter, such as sprinkler lines, waters in empty buildings, pasture water lines, garden hoses, etc., should be completely disconnected and drained before the first hard frost. If you'd like, compressed air can also help remove water from low spots that cannot be drained by gravity. Remember to remove garden hoses from hydrants and any outside faucets on your home. Connected hoses can trap water and cause freezing, even if the faucets are designed to be freeze-proof. Household water pipes and exterior walls can also freeze in extreme weather, so make sure there's sufficient insulation between the outside of the wall and the water pipes. Removing insulation between the inside room and the pipes can also let more room heat get to the water line. If it gets extremely cold, you may even need to leave doors ajar if you have a cabinet under the kitchen sink that has water pipes in it. This allows a little extra room heat into the space where the pipes are to help keep them warm. In extreme cases, you may need to let a trickle of water run all night to constantly replace the cold water in the pipes with warm water and keep the water flowing. Water pipes in unheated locations may need extra added heat. In a small enclosed space like a well pit or a pump house, a small electric heater or heat lamp may be sufficient for about $20 to $30. You can even add a thermostatic plug adapter to turn the heat source off when it's not needed. Be sure to keep heating devices a safe distance from flammable objects, and adding insulation to the pump house or well pit cover can help conserve heat that is already present in the ground. If you have more open areas like unheated buildings or crawl spaces, you may need to localize the added heat. Long strips of electrical resistance heating cable, also known as heat tape, can be applied directly to the pipe. Some heat tapes include built-in thermostats to turn them off when the weather gets warmer. Make sure to follow the manufacturer's instructions when installing heat tape. Never double the heat tape over itself by double wrapping or over or under pipe insulation unless specifically recommended by the manufacturer. For more information, check out the Acreage Living newsletter from November of 2020. Again, that is on the Acreage Living newsletter on the Small Farm Sustainability website. Just look that up on the ISU Extension website. There's additional information there on helping those underground water pipes, livestock water tanks, and energy-free waterers to utilize ground heat. All of that information in the Small Farm Sustainability Acreage Living newsletter. Be sure and check that out. Great resource, regardless of whether or not you live on a farm or an acreage. All that and more on the ISU Extension website. You can also stop by the Cass County Extension office for all those Extension resources. Check out our website or Facebook for upcoming events, or give us a call, 712-243-1132. Till next time, I'm Kate Olson for Cass County Extension.